Good morning. You may be seated. So glad that you are here with us as we join together in worship. As Kyle was announcing about their new little one, Emmy, such a great story, and I know they're excited to bring her home and to share her with this family. As we get to share a meal in just a few moments, and before I get started into my sermon, let me just ask, we're talking about I will serve this morning. First thing I'd like to do is ask you to help me serve this morning. Okay?
Okay.
Y'all are so good at that. All right. In just a few moments, we're going to transform this room into our dining room, our fellowship hall. And so we're going to have all these chairs pushed aside. We're going to bring out some tables in this back closet here. We're going to roll that out, so kids be careful. And we are going to put in five columns or five rows of three chairs. Say five columns of three chairs. Five columns of three chairs. So we're going to put one right here. One, two, three. And five columns of three tables. Listen to the recording. The recording is going to be right, okay? It's five columns. No. Yes. One, two, three, four, five. Five columns of three chairs, or three tables. See, now I know you're listening. All right, good deal. Thank you so much for helping me with that. Any of these extra red chairs we're going to put up on the cart back there, if we still need some, there's another cart in this closet right here. Thank you for helping us. And then we will have our meal put together, and we will enjoy fellowship with one another and then get to listen to Sherry. I got to meet Sherry, I don't know, several years ago. I was given an opportunity to go down to Guatemala and to be the chaplain for that program. And while the main emphasis is the surgeries and the medical work that they do, they also have a time of devotion and fellowship and study each morning and each evening. And so I was given the opportunity to go and participate in that while then watching and participating. I am not a in the OR type of guy. I am out in the waiting room type guy. And so they did a couple of what they call mobile clinics, where they would go out into the villages and they would work with some of the people with different health issues and whatnot. And so I got to go out there. And this picture on the front, I found this on our website. This is of Sherry hanging out with some of the local girls, kids there. And I got to watch her just in action as she was just ministering and loving on so many people there in Guatemala. She was leading and assisting some of our medical staff from the states that have gone down there. Just such a blessing. You watch her, and she is always so full of life and such an encouragement. She's the same way down there as she's working in some of these very difficult and what we would consider primitive locations, but just being a great love and light to so many. And I think if you'll stick around, you'll enjoy a great meal, plus hear some great things about what God is doing. Encourage you, if you haven't already, to pick up one of these books. We've got a box up here. They're $5 a piece. We're working our way through on Sunday mornings and then trying to share some ideas as we go through our worship service time together. The last couple weeks, we've been talking about this idea of I will, this mental shift in thinking as we participate, that we are to be Christ followers. We will live, we will act in Christ's actions and follow Him. And so our first lesson was this idea of passionately moving from I could or I can or I might to I will. Isn't that a shift? I mean, how many of us parents have said, hey, I need someone to take the trash out? And then you just hear cricket, cricket. Well, Johnny could or Sally could. I just want one of them to say, I will. God loves when our children, His children, stand up and say, I will. And so we were talking about passionately moving from that. Then we talked about being in action, of worshiping together, desiring to come together. And I see that as we join each week, the opportunities for us to study and to fellowship with one another. We then talked about how to grow our life together. It's not just in this room on Sunday morning, but it's throughout in Bible study and in home groups and in service projects. And this morning I want to talk about this idea of service, how God really has called us to be men and women of action, men and women of purpose. In class, we looked at this passage in Matthew chapter 20. If you open up your Bibles, Matthew chapter 20, I'll get there in just a minute. 20:20 is where this story really starts. But maybe you are familiar with this show, The Survivor. It's been on for the last 20 years or so. And it really is this microcosm of American culture. And if you haven't watched it, here's the premise. There's a bunch of people who are really roughing it on this far, far away island. And they have to compete against one another. And whichever team loses, then they have to vote somebody off their island. And the idea is to be the last remaining person on the island. And then those people that you voted off will give you $1 million. It actually ends up being like there's two or three people left. And then the last one, the people that voted off, vote you off. And so you want to do these blindsides. You want to do these tricks. You want to do the behaviors in ways that you get the rewards, but everyone still likes you. But then you also have to kick people off. And it's just unfortunate, great, and I'm going to use great not in the terrific, but it's just, it's a perfect example of a lot of life in America. But it's also life in life. Because in Matthew chapter 20, Jesus shares this story of James, or Matthew shares the story of when James and John's mother came to Jesus. And she asked Jesus, do me this favor, let one of my sons sit on your left and one on the right. When you come to your place of honor, when your kingdom comes, let them have this place. And then the other 10 found out about this great maneuver that mom had done, and they were upset. Jesus gathers his disciples together. In verse 25, Jesus called them together and he said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And if we could just leave it right there, we would be content with taking the trash out. But Matthew records Jesus' words. And to give his life as a ransom for many. Brothers and sisters, I want us to be Christ followers. Amen? Amen? And as a Christ follower, I will serve. Can you say that? I will serve. That is an example of Christ. That is in his path. That is the way that he lived. He sacrificed himself for those that were around him on the night that he was betrayed. He was washing their feet. It's a dog-eat-dog world out there, some might say. But we will serve just like Christ. If you ever heard that song or sang the song, I have decided to follow Jesus. You may not know the story that goes behind that song. Several 100 years ago, about 150 years ago or so, there was this great revival in England. And many people became convicted about what they needed to do in response to the gospel message that they were hearing. And so several then set sail to go around the world to become missionaries in other parts. And the story is told of one that went to India. Ended up in a very northeast remote part of India in which it was very tribal, it was very rural, it was very, well, we'd call them headhunters. In fact, on the outside of their homes, their huts, there were literally skulls of those that they had killed in battle. It was a sign of their strength, their ability to protect. And as this missionary came into these villages, the gospel seemed ridiculous to them. And over time, he had very little success until finally one day this one young native boy gave his life to Christ. In time, he started sharing his faith with his wife. He had two small children and started to raise them in the way of God's Word. It started to permeate into the village because he was able to speak to their heart and in their own language in a way that the missionary was not able to. In short order, some of the strife, some of the conflicts, some of the power and the position that they once had honored had started to go away as they started to listen to the Prince of Peace. And the village chief was very upset with the power structure and the changes of what was going on. And he brought this young man into this tribal council. And he said, "Son, what you're doing is disrupting the flow of our native heritage. You need to stop talking about this Jesus. You need to follow our traditions." And this man said, "I've decided to follow Jesus. I will not change. I will not go back." Fearing that was the case, the chief then brought in the two sons. They were bound in vines, brought in before the council, and he said, "If you don't renounce, if you don't turn away from what you've been teaching, your children will be shot," as was the custom within their tribe. Once again, the man held firm. And he said, "I have decided to follow Jesus and I will not turn back." The chief then gives the order. Two arrows fly and those boys' lives come to an end that morning. The young village man was challenged with his faith, his wife is brought in, and once again the chief gives him an opportunity to relent, to pull back from his faith, and gives him the same ultimatum that if you do not change, your wife's life will be taken. And once again, he gave the story. "I've decided to follow Jesus and I will not turn back." The chief gives order and another arrow flies and the wife's life is taken right there at that morning. The chief then looks at this young man and says, "Son, no one is with you. It's time for you now to turn and change your ways." And this young man, emboldened by faith, knowing who God really is, he says, "If none go with me, still I will follow. I have decided to follow Jesus, and I will not turn back." The chief gives an order, and the young man's life is taken that morning as well. A day or two later, the missionary is summoned in to speak to the chief, and he's concerned about his life, obviously. And as he goes before the chief, he asks, "What do you want from me?" And the chief says, "I've not slept these last few nights, for I've never seen anything stronger than my own might. But this young man in his faith, teach me what it means to be a Christ follower. Though none will go with me, still I will follow." This morning I want us to look. I want us to decide to be brothers and sisters, Christ followers who will give their life as a ransom for many, that we will serve with great purpose, with great passion, and even with great cost. But I'm going to share with you a couple examples that any of us at any time can do. You see, this young man, that missionary, they were kind of an army of one. They were purpose-driven. They were focused on who they were. The story that we just read about Tabitha, as she sows and as she gives to those widows and to those ladies, as she makes a statement of her faith over and over, day after day, army of one. I know of a place that has a Sunday morning worship service, and they put the emphasis on worship in the morning. In the evening, they gather again for a worship service, and they put the emphasis on service as they go out and they try to help those in need. I want you to listen to these Christ-honoring, kingdom-building, this biblical story. Acts chapter 9, verse 39. After the news of Tabitha and her death, Peter went with them. And when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room, and all the widows stood around him crying and showing him the robes and other clothes that Tabitha had made while she was still with them. This morning I want to talk to you, and I'm going to share a couple examples about this army of one, individuals who make a significant difference, but it's not an idea about just being by myself. It is an idea that what I do becomes powerful because I'm giving glory to God, because I'm doing what God has called me to do. I'm using my talents, I'm using my gifts for His glory. And if that's the case for Tabitha, that's sowing, that's cutting, that's sharing. In Matthew chapter 25, look at this verse with me real quick. Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 31. Jesus says, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory, all the angels will be with Him, and He will sit in His glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate His people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Then the King will say to those on His right, 'Come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came, and you visited me.' And then the righteous will answer, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did he see you as a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go and visit you?' And then the King, the Almighty King, the Creator of all, says this, 'I tell you, whoever did it for one of the least of these brothers or sisters of mine, you did it for me.'" Tabitha had this collection of women that she had served. But Christ says, whenever you did it to one of these, you did it to me as well. I told you a few months ago about the Japanese girl that I had the honor of baptizing. If you remember the story, I was supposed to be going to Ethiopia, but because of a container filled with computers and a drill rig for drilling water wells, it was caught in customs and our trip was delayed. The last minute, a Delta agent gave us a transfer of tickets for $20 each. This international four legs, four different carriers, we got to change open-ended tickets for $20. Just a miracle by God. You may remember that I wasn't planning to go to Japan, but as I came back to my office, I realized that my calendar was open and I needed to go and do some work in Japan, and so this would have been a great opportunity. God provided one of the cheapest tickets for me to be able to go back to Japan. As I got there, my trip was unplanned, and so my first stop was at this little church where another missionary, vocational missionary, was there, and I wanted just to kind of pick his brain and get a lay of the land. And so I arrived late Saturday night, got up early Sunday morning, made my way to this church where he was going to be at, and I arrived just before communion. As I sit down, my American friend hands me the bulletin, and there it says, preaching that morning will be Matt Huddleston. I was shocked and surprised, and I spend the next few moments reviewing some of the things that I'd read while I was on the plane. I got up to speak, and as I did, one of my former students comes walking in. I didn't know it at the time, but she had been spending time in prayer that morning, asking God to help her decide to become a Christian or to obey her parents. Literally just a few days earlier, she had talked to her parents about becoming a Christian and was chased out of the house, knife point. As I read the scriptures that I was reading on the plane, as I share this lesson that I just quickly put together, she remembers those are the same scriptures that she was reading in her house that morning. And this seems to be evidence that now is the right time for her to give her life to Christ. You may remember the story that it was an early January morning, much colder than it is today, and we walked down to the beach, and I got an opportunity to baptize her as she made her confession of faith. But all of that would not have been possible had this young boy, my young son Levi, had not gone with me to pass out flyers on this campus. See, a little toddler can hand kids anything. An old American man probably wouldn't have the great success. But because he went with me to pass out flyers, Michi came to our classes. Michi started studying the Word, and I had an opportunity to baptize her. The thing that strikes me as interesting is just a couple weeks ago, several of our congregation went out. We passed out several hundred flyers to our neighborhoods, inviting them to a Cookies with Santa. And I wonder where that story is going to end. How many of us are able to pass out a flyer in service of the King to proclaim something that's significant? Just because someone was willing to pass out a flyer. Second story I'd like to tell you is about a man. When I first met him, I was not very impressed. I'd traveled about 9 hours. 10 hours on the road or so. Just finished up a week of testing and was very tired. I came into this house, his house. He had already gone to bed long before I ever arrived. Stayed up late talking to the family, getting to know them. I had just started dating Kara, and this was a wonderful chance to get to know her family. But her father was already in bed. They put me down in the basement, and you know some of those old basements with the small little windows along the top, you know that they're hidden by the shrubs, and so in the morning not much light is coming into the basement. Well, that's where I was, and after a long week of finals, I slept like, I'd say like a baby, but babies wake up every other hour. Kyle. I was abruptly awakened to this. Well, if that boy wants to make himself useful, he can stack up the wood in the back. Slam. I jump up out of bed, come running up the stairs. There's Kara saying goodbye to her father as he drives away. It is now almost 6 o'clock as he's late for work. I had slept so late into the day. Came later to learn that my father-in-law, I say this with kindness, he was an elder for some time, but probably not the best elder. Randall was abrupt. Randall had either two options in life: get the job done or get out of the way. He didn't sit and talk very much. He didn't share pleasantries. He wasn't a guy that just engaged in frivolous conversation or basic conversation. Randall also wasn't supposed to live past 18. He worked hard. He was a father of four, married, faithful. He was a drafting teacher, an airplane mechanic, all around, fix-it kind of guy. We were living out in California, and we got the call that Randall had passed away. He was born on September 11th, 1938. One of his granddaughters was also born on September 11th, a few years before the terrorist attacks. And then again on September 11th, 2008, Randall passed away on his 70th birthday. A few days later, were in Salina, Kansas. It was a midweek service. The church was full. There's probably about 400 or so that had come for his funeral. And as each person got up to talk, it was humorous because we all had the same stories that Randall was just cantankerous. Randall was difficult. Randall was a challenge to be around in so many ways. Randall also was a jokester. He loved to put on the shortest of shorts, his loafers, and a pair of white socks that go all the way up to the knees and go out and push the mower just to make Kara embarrassed that one of her friends might drive by. As the minister got up to speak, he stood there with Randall's hammer, one of many, many hammers that the man had, obviously well used, well worn. The minister told a story about seeing Randall at so-and-so's house one day when he went to go visit them. He said a few days later, a week or so later, he was over at another member's house, and there was Randall up on the roof fixing their shingles. A few days later, at a third member's house, he goes in to visit this widow, and there was Randall working on her bathroom floor because it had a leak and needed some repairs. The minister then wondered out loud how many of us had experienced the kindness of Randall in our own home. And then as a gift from God, he asks, if Randall's ever been in your home to fix something, would you stand up? And nearly everyone in that 400-member audience stood up. If God's given you a hammer, swing it for His glory. Serve Him with all your might. You may change the eternal destiny of one person, of one church, maybe of one little town. Last story I would like to tell you real quick is this of an older lady that I knew when I was just about 5 years old. Her name was Eva White. As a five-year-old, I didn't know those that were older very well. My attention span was very short. And I knew that Eva just liked to talk. And she would ask you about memory verses and Bible class, all the things that we were learning. And honestly, Miss Eva, I just wanted to go play. That's all I knew about Eva. Well, except for if you went to her house, you'd get a slice of pie. And I liked pie, but I didn't like to sit around and talk. Eva sometimes was a babysitter for us. I'm the youngest of four, and she would come over, and Eva didn't like it if we played outside too long. She wasn't able to see where we went and what we were doing, and so she would prefer that we'd come in the house and play. In fact, she would prefer that we would stop playing and that we would read the Bible and share Bible stories together. And again, as a five-year-old, that wasn't my highest objective at the time. As a young man, I found out that Eva had passed away. My parents started telling me a little bit about Miss Eva White. She was a lady who lived on a fixed income. And each month she learned how to cut her expenses just a little bit. And every penny, every nickel, every quarter that she saved, she would save that back. When she had enough, she would buy a gift certificate. And she'd call up my parents and say, "You are going out to eat on Friday." She wouldn't ask. She would just tell them that they would have a date. And then she would come over and she would watch us kids. It was one of the few times as a child that I had a Happy Meal. We never got those as kids in my family. But she would bring those over. And I wonder how many other church families how many marriages she blessed, how many lives she changed on a little income with a few happy meals and definitely a lot of Bible stories. It just takes a person willing to bring a meal, to watch a kid that's going to change a family, help them through a hard time. And even you could do that. This morning I want to ask you, about me, and what we are going to do. What do you think about your actions, your abilities, your desire, your passion, your options to serve and to love others? What will I give? What will I do? This morning, I just want to pause for a second and say, if you're coming to a place of question, if you're seeing the opportunities, but you don't know exactly how to move forward, our elders and their wives would love to counsel you and direct you. Our congregation would love to pray for you and empower you and help you and assist you and train you in this. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus says this, chapter 10, verse 37 through 42. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Now listen to what Jesus says in verse 42. If anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will not lose their reward. What will you do? What will you give? On one hand, Jesus sets the bar so high as he gives his life as a ransom for many. In other ways, just a cup of water is all that he's asking us to give. This morning, I want to give the application that we're not doing this by ourselves or for ourselves, but for his glory. This morning, as we think about the ways that we're going to serve, it's not so that we will be honored, but that God will be honored. And it's not always in the biggest of ways, but sometimes in small, very poignant, very powerful ways, we can make a blessing to those around us. This morning, I ask each of us that we will commit to ourselves, to our Lord, and to one another, that I will serve. Let's stand together and sing.